This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from the Society for Human Resource Management, which also sponsors PBS's CEO Exchange, online at shrm.org.
Without. It's only the beginning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. So Democrat Barack Obama and Republican Mike Huckabee head into the New Hampshire primary next week as the frontrunners. But last night's Iowa caucuses were just the first step in a long road for the presidential candidates. Marketplace will, of course, be covering the race from a business perspective. What is it the business community wants from the next president? We start with this report from Danielle Carson in Washington.
Corporate America's top priority is simple: sustain a vibrant economy. To do that, business leaders say the next president needs to do a number of things, including
making sure we have a competitive tax policy.
That's John Castellani. He heads the Business Roundtable that represents the CEOs of U.S. companies worth more than $4 trillion.
And making sure that we have a sound energy policy that has the right emphasis on conservation, the production of oil and gas, and the production and development of alternative supplies.
Castellani says mushrooming health care costs are also hurting business. Some candidates advocate expanding health care coverage, and that's good, says Michael Deagle with the National Federation of Independent Business, except for one thing.
We are telling our candidates we can't help with coverage until small business owners have some help with controlling costs.
Business leaders say it's time to put the partisanship aside and actually fix problems. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
Are the presidential candidates addressing your concerns? Let us know at marketplace.org. Just click on Election 2008. There is a lot of uncertainty in the stock markets right now. $100 oil, signs of the economy slowing. In Japan today, trading reopened after a New Year's break. The Nikkei fell 4% to its lowest close in a year and a half. As for Wall Street, the Dow starts the day at 13,056. It gained 12 points yesterday. The NASDAQ fell 6 to 2602. The S&P 500 was flat at 1447. In Europe this morning, shares are mixed so far. It snowed in Florida yesterday. Just flurries, but still, it doesn't happen very often. Temperatures have been in the teens this week, and any time it gets that cold in Florida, farmers aren't getting much sleep. We don't know yet how much damage some crops might have taken, like strawberries and vegetables, but it looks like citrus growers might have escaped this one. Dan Gretsch reports from the Sunshine State.
It's been a long 2 days for Florida orange growers. Andrew Meadows is with the Florida Citrus Mutual, a trade organization with 8,000 members.
I know we had some growers out there who pulled all-nighters and kept track of the temperature in their groves, so it definitely creates anxiety.
Some growers tried to protect plants by spraying them with water that freezes. This created a frozen shell that insulated the temperature at 32 degrees. In the end, Meadows says it looks like Florida dodged a bullet.
Fortunately, you know, last night's cold snap was accompanied by some winds about 10 to 12 miles an hour, and that helps mitigate frost. So that certainly helped us pull through.
Florida's last freeze in 1997 raised the price and decreased the availability of oranges. That proved to be a boon for clementines. They found a large market in the U.S. that year for the first time. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers, 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
Just south of Naples, Italy, is some of the most beautiful coastline in the world, the famous Amalfi Coast. Unfortunately, Naples itself gets more disgusting by the day. The city is filling up with garbage. The mafia controls the trash business and is making billions on it, but garbage still litters the streets. The people of Naples have been burning it this week. Let's bring in our correspondent in Rome, Megan Williams. Megan, why is the trash piling up in the first place?
Well, it's a story that goes back at least 10 years. The mafia owns Naples, right? It controls the whole city. Garbage is one aspect of it. So northern Italy has been, you know, literally dumping its garbage in and around Naples. And a big reason for this is that the Camorra, which is the Naples mafia, it's been making a lot of money by just accepting garbage from all over the country. And now all of the garbage dumps are full, so there's no place for the garbage to go for local people. So people are incredibly frustrated, and also out of fear from spreading disease, have they started to set fire to the garbage. And that's caused a whole other problem.
And this is garbage on the streets.
This is garbage on the street. This is garbage in ditches, caves, abandoned fields, you name it. Any space that people can find to put their garbage.
And what problem is it causing?
Well, that's the other tragic element in the whole story, because they're burning plastic and it's releasing toxic waste into the air, which of course goes into the water system, which goes into the grass. And one of the biggest, healthiest industries in and around Naples is milk, butter, cheese producing. I mean, all of the world's mozzarella cheese comes from around Naples. And so there's huge concern in Italy that the mozzarella cheese is toxic now, and the sales have dropped. I mean, friends in Rome, nobody's buying mozzarella anymore. Everybody's saying, no, don't buy it, even though health agencies in Italy are saying, well, if the crisis continues, yes, it's a concern, but it's really not a concern now. But there's just too much economic interest at stake for people to be trusting what public health officials are saying.
Has anyone outside of Italy brought attention to this, like the European Union or the U.S. that might be importing mozzarella?
Yes, the European Union is actually suing Italy to try and get the problem under control. But so far, the Italian government has not been able to bring the mafia to its knees, really anywhere in the country, but particularly in Naples. It's a city that's completely controlled by the Camorra.
Okay, Megan Williams reporting from Rome. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.